And we are live. Welcome back to the Abbas Wahab Show. Oh my God, this past week, what a weekend for music. Oh my God. Wait, go to it. I hope YouTube don't flag that, but God damn, what a weekend. If you enjoy hip hop, if you make any sort of content for the internet or whatever, that shit has come to a halt. Your originally scheduled release plan is in the trash now. Like, I wanted to make a bunch of, you know, marketing team, whatever videos, you know, I make. And I'm like, that's out. All commentary of the internet is rap about Drake and the Kendrick feud. Oh, my God. The Heart Part 6, Drake just released this yesterday. Ooh. I'm not gonna lie, he went hard on this. And I love the use of the covers. Like this, I'm assuming that we're here in the Not Like Us, which, what a hook on this, huh? That, and I've loved Family Matters. That last verse on Family Matters by Drake, he really brought that shit. Nice, boy, but I don't know. Oh, no one. Oh my God, dude, like, I don't even know where to begin with this. First of all, everyone is thinking Kendrick Lamar has the foreground. We'll say he's winning in the race. He's a Usain Bolt race, and Kendrick, although the shortest, is Usain in this situation. I don't know, man. Like, the back and forth has been crazy. First of all, the two Meet the Grams followed by Not Like Us before Drake even had a chance to say anything. Kendrick is the type to bank a bunch of tracks and bring them out. And although in the Heart Part 6, I actually love this part where Drake's like, he pretty much goes, at least I got you rapping for your fans again, which he can't really deny. He's been a little MIA, I don't know, with family or whatever, but, you know, we don't know people's situations. But still. So now, the big thing Kendrick was saying, Drake, you're a pedophile, right? Which Drake's had like all these things over the years of like Drake seen Drake texting 17-year-old European pop star, you know, all this stuff over the years, which who knows what a text is. And a rock star slash pop star dating or hooking up with an underage? Stop the presses. That's never happened before, you know? Excuse the Rolling Stones, all the freaking rock stars of all time. That's their MO. They're like, that's why we got into it, baby. You think Michael Jackson would ever moonwalk if there was no pedophilia to chase for? No. You gotta hope for something. It's like Chappelle said, if we can't pee on our fans, then that's why I got into showbiz, baby. What are we doing? The creativity, though. This is a picture of Drake's house is what I'm assuming here. And yeah, like, I never used a sex offender app, but I've seen it enough to know, like, that's what the sex offender app. That's, like, what he's going for, that little red thing. Yeah, like, sex offender lookup, this right here. I guess that's what he's referencing here, saying the homie's got the crew of sex offenders in there, which, the lines in there, back and forth, so many good lines. Ain't that like, why you still pretending? What is the owl, bird niggas and bird bitches? Oh man. Drake's had great lines too. It's not like an open and shut case Kendrick has won this, you know? Drake's had like I love that Kendrick just opened his mouth. Someone hand him a Grammy right now, which is, you know, he's admired by the industry. And then you always rapping like you're trying to get this the slaves freed. You ain't an active, it's all make believe. That's great. And then there's the pedophilia stuff, the making up stuff. I don't know, man. I just hope this never ends. But at the same time, I'm trying to get into, like I said, my regularly scheduled programming of content and whatnot. That's not happening anytime soon. No siree. I wonder how long this will go. Drake in the last one was like, I don't want to do 10 more of these things. Or what did he say right here? Just let me know when we get into the facts. I don't know what even that means. I thought they were into the facts, but your boy's mind's all over the place. Kendrick said that Drake has an 11-year-old daughter that is pretty much just out there floating in the world, unloved, unfathered. And Drake claims that he planted this. Like, what kind of Machiavellian fucking war general shit is happening at this point? This is like Shakespearean tragedy. This is like Hamlet, everything combined. I planted that. I knew you had rats on the inside, and I sent the gopher with that knowledge over to your people. And you bit that shit just like we planned. Which, by the way, like my buddy was just telling me, Drake denied having a son when Pusha T exposed it. So this could be him doing the exact same thing. But it cracks me up that it doesn't matter what's happening in the world right now. If you dropped an album, it's gone. Just irrelevant. Like, you should delete everything about the album release and update all the artwork and whatever so it says that it's being released in a couple weeks. Like, I don't know how long this shit's gonna go. This might be all made. Like, no one has... I haven't heard the word Trump. I haven't heard Trudeau. P. Diddy is running. That boy is... Did you see? I posted a thing. Cat Williams running in Atlanta. You know that scene where Cat Williams just runs away like this? Is this, where's that gif? Yeah. That's P. Diddy right now. Like, fire! This homie's had the opportunity to go and just... No one has brought up P. Diddy's name since this whole thing has gone down. And that, and God bless him. You know, weirdly enough, God listens to P. Diddy's prayers, because that boy is gone. He is gone. No one is even talking about him anymore. The internet, for the most part, from what I'm seeing, is leaning on the Kendrick side. But now that Drake dropped The Heart Part 6... Kendrick has probably, he'll probably release something tonight. I don't think he's going to give it more than 24 hours. That's the name of the game. It's like old school duels. Like, you got to meet a homie at sunrise or sunset now because you've been slapped in the face by a glove. Like, I challenge you, sir, to a duel by dusk or whatever. That's what this shit is. It's amazing. It's incredible. Like, I got up today. I normally try to stay away from my phone right when I get up. Just, you know, because obviously it's poison. But today I rolled over and I Googled right away, and I was like, I was looking if Kendrick dropped something. Not yet. He's powering up. Kendrick is powering up as we speak, Dragon Ball Z Final Instinct style. Adonis has an entire playlist to play whenever he gets grounded. That's hilarious. This isn't beef anymore. This is a catch a predator. And then the content. That's been easily the best part about all this. The content that this feud has inspired has just been endless, and it's the best part. I mean, the bars are great, but really it's like this one cracked me up right here. It's Drake and Kendrick's producers working triple overtime this past week.
Yeah, I'm playing you the switch up.
You better switch it again, Crody.
I get it, but Kendrick, the song's already 12 and a half minutes long.
Make it 5 more minutes. Switch it again, Crody.
No, like, I'm just trying to understand, why am I making another one? It didn't even respond yet. Like, that's what I don't get.
I want 6 more just in case.
Oh my god, that shit fucking kills me, man. Kendrick's got him banked, but you can't bank too many because you got to be able to respond to what people are saying. I just love it, man. I'm actually waiting for the point that my Sudani mom is gonna send me a voice note like, Abbas, and have you heard about Drake and Kendrick? What is happening with them? What is music, and who is winning this beef, Abbas? Oh my god, yeah, man. This anyways. Enough of that for that, even though that'll probably come up a million times this episode. I flew to New York last week, activated my visa. Da-na-na-na-na-na. American anthem. Your boy activated his visa. I am now legally allowed to work and live in the United States of America. This was a very long process. Cost a lot of money. Let me get the bag. Let me get the bag, my friends. I'm so amped. A tour announcement is coming very soon. I'm just wrapping up the details of it. Nothing big, but just get my feet wet in the Americas. See how this comedy content is going to hold its own below the border. Let's see. I've got a lot of Canada stuff, but I have most of it is not. And I'm excited and interested to see how your boy's going to handle America, you know? Put my feet into the pool and see if I'm welcomed. I never am. At any point where you step into a new freaking Coliseum, you're never really fully embraced, you know? That's the nature of the game. People see new people. They don't like new people because that's just more competition. That's just more whatever. But the reason I even have this photo up right here is because I was flying to Newark Airport, which, by the way, garbage. I'm not flying there anymore. Just takes so long to get into New York City from there. But, yo, the planes got crazy delayed. And if you fly from Toronto City to Newark Airport, it's all Hasidic Jews. Like, I know most of the Jews in the world, or not, I don't know about most of them, but a giant majority in New York City. But I didn't realize to what level, because I'm there and the fog is causing the planes to be delayed. So I'm in a terminal full of Hasidic Jews, the hats, the twirly things, yarmulkes, everything. And like, it was to the point people were sitting on the ground. Yo, I felt like a Hamas hostage. I'm not gonna lie. I was in there like, they're gonna free the women and children before us, boys. We're fucking dead, boys. Ended up flying into Newark Airport. Had those crazy type of lines. You know those, like, and apparently watch the security line in the DIA. I don't know what's going on with these security lines. The America always does this on purpose where they open a minimal amount of booths to go through and process people. I don't know, you know, does it make security better that these lines are crazy long? I don't know what it is. All I know is I was holding a piss. And I had to get into a line just like this size. Like, you know, in Canada on Boxing Day, when you go outside Best Buy back in the day, before Amazon, you know, Amazon disrupted everything. Nobody's in line like that anymore. And now it's like Black Friday and Boxing Day. So it ain't like it used to be. But I remember when I was a kid, when you went to Best Buy for those, what are they called? Door crashers or door breakers, whatever the hell, like the ultimate deals. Yo, man, people would be, I'd be in an S line that went all along the rear, like, loading dock, just a huge S line. And I remember when I was a kid going through that stuff in international airports, and I haven't really went to one since flying from Toronto to freaking Newark, 1 hour and 10 minutes just in the S. Finally, I get to the guy up there. And the whole point of me flying in is because once you get your visa approved, you have to go and in a port of entry, you have to get them to stamp saying like, hey, what are you here for? Business or pleasure? You got to say business. You got to show them your paperwork because the approval notice says clearly on it, this is not an approval. This is an approval notice, which is some Department of Homeland Security shit. You know what I mean? It's always something like that. I don't want to fucking whatever. But I wait, the guy stamps me. He doesn't stamp me. He goes, okay, you're good to go through. I'm like, bro, give me the stamp. I need the stamp, brother. You know, like, you know how your visas get stamped, like entry. I'm like, I need it. He goes, no, I don't have any stamps. You got to go in there for the stamps. I'm like, what do you mean in there? It's always something. Finally, we go into the place with the stamps. And I have this huge back and forth with this guy about like, he goes, you don't need the stamp. As a Canadian, you're visa exempt, which means that you do not get a stamp. You carry your passport and you carry this approval notice. And those together allow you to work here. And I'm like, but sir, it says on it, it's not an approval. And then we're just going back and forth and back and forth. And at one point, he just goes, which, by the way, almost made me just like fall to my knees in happiness. He goes, look, man, I could stamp this thing, but it's not going to do anything for you. I'm like, please. Please, sir, I understand that, but please, please stamp it. Please stamp it. I understand it means nothing. Just stamp it. My lawyer's like, you got to get this stamp. I asked him, can I call my lawyer? He's like, I do not talk to lawyers. I'm just like, oh my God, bro. DHS officers. These guys, every time I deal, like all of them in the photos here on Google, they got big smiles on their face, but they are explicitly told and instructed to not smile. There's no smile. Look at this. Like, this is that not now hiring type of thing. Like, look, you could aid the community. It's nothing like that. Just so aggro in there. No windows. Everyone's fighting everyone. I'm like, bro, if you could stamp it. And he ended up stamping it. Because I was like, I understand. And I had to hit him with the sirs. And I had to be like, sir, I understand. It's just this is what my lawyer instructed. Even if it means nothing, could you do me a favor and stamp it? And then he stamps it, 01, expiry date. Like, essentially reconfirms my approval notice. And I'm just like, just do that from the beginning, man. Why are you creating drama for yourself? I don't get these people. They're in a state of chaos. If someone is going into that back room, it's not good. They're not coming in to fucking sell Boy Scout, whatever the fuck, right? It's a problem. So it's like, in my scenario of it being like a minor, easy resolution type thing, just do it. What do you? And another guy, as he's telling me I don't need a stamp, some other Border Patrol officer just comes, walks by. They got like a gun on them, like, you know, they're all armed and like bulletproof vests. He goes, yeah, you don't need a stamp. I'm like, oh my, someone kill me. Please, someone take your gun out of your holster and shoot me in the face, because this is a fucking nightmare. I flew in just because I was avoiding, and you're saying I could have driven to the port of entry, like Detroit, Niagara Falls, whatever, but if you've ever driven through the border as an immigrant, you know the Border Patrol people that are like physically in the bridge and land borders, they are 10 times more of a nightmare. They're on just like some bureaucratic power trip. So I knew this. My lawyer knows this. She's like, you should avoid them. I'm like, trust me, I wasn't planning on driving through any day. I was going to fly in. So this whole flight was for this stamp, essentially. Finally, the homie stamps me. I get the fuck out of there. Now, trying to get from Newark into New York City, that's another nightmare, too, because, like, I didn't realize this, but they got two Penn stations. Like, I'm trying to, if I ever want to move to New York, which I do, I got to learn this whole goddamn subway stuff. It's so confusing, man. I've had a car my whole life, so it's like, even in Toronto, which is like two or three lines, I'll manage to get lost or mess it up somehow, because there's an uptown, downtown, westbound, eastbound, like, all of these may not necessarily be what you think. Like, uptown could be going horizontal, you know what I mean? And northbound at any given time could be going, like, eastbound. So it's like, it's always kind of confused me, but the one big thing that fucked me up is Newark and New York, they both got a Penn Station. So I'm, like, going past Penn Station from Newark Airport, getting to, it's telling me to get off at New York Penn Station, which is in Manhattan, before I was getting to a show here in Astoria, which is Queens, but I got off at Penn Station, yo. I freaking went upstairs. I told the lady, like, I didn't even know I was in Manhattan yet, because my Google Maps didn't update, so my current location showed as still being in New Jersey, and I hopped back on the train, and thank God the train was delayed, so the doors just kept open, because just something felt weird, and I look back at my Google Maps, and now the blue dot where it shows your current location, now it's exactly on New York Penn Station. I'm like, oh, fuck. I hop out of there. Almost went all the way back and wasted an hour. Thank God that didn't happen, but ended up making my show, which was just a park show. Hilarious, you know? It's funny. I rushed. That's the thing about comedy, man. You could, like, stand up. You could rush to a place. You have no expectations. Besides it being like a proper club, you know, if you're going to the improv or, you know, a big Yuck Yucks or whatever the hell it is, like, you don't actually know what to expect. I ended up, like, I thought I was going to be in a club, or the guy told me Astoria Park. And I'm like, oh, it'll be a venue near it. Ended up being a literal, like, COVID-style park show. And, yeah, let's just say, hey, it ended up being actually fun. It took forever to get there. I rushed, but I got there. The next day, the whole mission was to get... I had two missions in America. Go through, get that stamp, which we got. Wasn't, you know... I don't want to say it was easy, but we got it done. And then the next day, I wanted to open up a bank account just so I could start booking venues and whatever, but I did a bunch of online reading, and it was like, stay away from Wells Fargo. Stay away from Wells Fargo. Like, look at this. I'll bury my cash in coffee cans in the backyard before I ever do business with them. When they bought out my old bank, I closed my accounts. We actually had to get a lawyer to intervene with their legal department to get them to recognize my mother's ownership of her house. My mother had them. She was in her 90s, having a little memory problems. Not bad, but not great. I went to Chase Bank because online they said, hey, we can, if you have the following lease agreement, blah, 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 we can open up a bank for you. And then when you actually go to a location, that's not the case anymore. I love how they always minimize the information so you go to a branch. They just wasting your time. It's expert level time wasting, right? Give you the impression you can open an account, and then when you show up, you go through all the hoops and whatever. Come to find out you can't. I'm missing one document that the online doesn't say. So I'm in the bank. The guy, which this I appreciate, this Chase Bank employee goes, pretty much I put together a lease agreement with my old landlord in Michigan. So I'm renting a one bedroom that I used to rent from him just so I can have a U.S. address. And they said lease agreement is fine. And they're like, nah, it's not fine. I need another utility that's going to that address. I'm like, ugh, your website says this is fine. He goes, nah, you need to go to Wells Fargo. Open up account. They open up international accounts. So I'm like, fuck. The whole internet said to avoid Wells Fargo. He goes, well, you open up an account with Wells Fargo. Then you come over to this side. Once Wells Fargo emails you your freaking debit card, now you have proof arriving at that address. Then you switch everything over to us. I'm like, okay, fuck. So now I'm in a Chase Bank account when they tell me this. And now I leave the Chase Bank account. Chase Bank. I go to a Wells Fargo. This blew my mind. I go to Wells Fargo. It's 1 p.m. on a Thursday. I go to Wells Fargo in the middle of Manhattan. Let's see if I could actually find the exact location here. Wells Fargo in the middle of Manhattan. It is dead when I enter. I go up to the lady. I say, and I believe it was this one right here. They all suck. They all have a rating of 2 point something. Like, the best ones have a 3.2, but there's no Wells Fargo on earth that probably has a 4 point something on Google. I show up, it's empty. I go up to the lady. Hi, I'd like to open a checking account. Okay, sir, have a seat. I have a seat. She comes up to me 3 minutes later. She goes, I'm afraid we're all booked for today, sir. And I'm just looking at her shocked. I'm like, what? You're the worst bank. You're the one that should be begging people. I thought, like, the shittiest places always love to enroll you, and then they fuck you when it actually comes to servicing you as an account holder. This place, they're on some hard-to-get VIP shit. Sorry, we're all booked for today. Everyone is just doing nothing. It didn't seem like there was a single customer in that whole place. I'm like, yo, is there another place that could see me nearby? And then at this point, she looked like she wanted to actually stab me in the face. It was crazy. Let's see. The only way to describe her face is that she was looking at me in absolute disgust. Like, I'm like, is there another place? She goes back to her thing, takes forever. I walk over. She's like, you can have a 2:30 at a Bowery location. I'm like, all right, awesome. Lock me into that. And then she's like, all right, you're on for 2:30. I'm like, okay, is there an individual I should go ask for that I'm working with? She goes, you go to the window like you did with me, and you say you have it. And I backed out of that bitch. Like, oh my God, I don't know what kind of PMS nightmare shit. I don't know if you're a Drake fan and you just heard this Kendrick shit drop, but just said all of this with a legitimate face of disgust on her face. I'm like, wow, this is really that Wells Fargo treatment they were talking about online. Thankfully, I ended up going to the Wells Fargo Bowery location. Shout out to my brother, Takbir Ahmed, Wells Fargo. This guy helped me open up an account. Clutch guy, did the job properly. I'm so happy when I deal with an immigrant like that is working in these positions, because they just, anytime it's like middle-aged white people, they treat everything like a DMV or like a Service Ontario, Service Canada type. Like, there's none of that private sector drive where we're actually trying to do things correctly and be competent. It's like, I have ultimate job security and I'm not going to overwork myself. Like, that is the tone that they always have, until you run into, like, this guy is Bengali born. Oh, I love competent people. Oh, have a seat. What's going on? Let's get it going. Talk to you like you're a human, like it's a private sector, like it's their business they're running. He helped me get an account open. Thank God for that. Took hours just with this whole thing. With him, it was probably like 40 minutes. But the point is, we got an account open. Let's go back to that celebration music. We got an account open, guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, that means we accomplished both of the things we wanted to accomplish in the United States. Get the stamp, open a bank account. I did it. Open an account. Then that night, I had a guest spot at an art gallery, comedy show. You know, it's New York City. They love to put comedy shows wherever the hell they can. Oh, did I bomb? Did I fucking bomb hard or what? Guy bombing comedy. If you're watching my spelling, don't judge me here. Guy bombing. I'm writing mobbing. Yeah, like this. That's me right there. That's me smiling and just dying. Even though this guy behind him is kind of smiling. It was an art gallery show, very liberal people. I hit him with my best jokes, and the guy before me did great. So it's like we know the room works, you know? You can never really blame the audience. If you're a shitty comedian, you can blame the audience, but you gotta blame your performance or you on some level every time. Otherwise, what are you learning, right? But man, I died. Holy shit. They didn't give me nothing. They didn't like it. The guy before me goes, look, I'd vote for Biden twice if I could. Like, it was very, and he had very well-written jokes, but when he said that, that gives you the tone of like how liberal this was. And they're all like kind of like nodded when he said that. I remember at one point he goes, if you give up liberty for security, you deserve neither. Which I'm like, all right, that's some great wordplay. But I don't know what the fuck. I'm going up like Sudan. Yeah. UK rap. Ah, sexual pressure in my 30s. Oh, boy, did I bomb. Nothing worse like bombing and then going for a long Lyft ride afterwards. Like, I took a $36 Lyft to the next show, which ended up just being a basement show that I got a last-minute spot at in Brooklyn. Three people in the basement. $36 to get there. This is the nature of comedy that people do not understand. The things we go through. I ended up killing it with those three people. All three of those motherfuckers loved you, boy. Hey, look at this. Oh, shit, God. These are my boys. Wow, this must have done great. That's crazy. But in the world of comedy, you have to, like, redeem yourself before you go to sleep. Otherwise, it just ruins your night, yo. You got to have a good set before you can close the night on, like, stand-up. Thank God I got that, despite the fact that it was a super long drive, but now I'm like really thinking about New York. Oh, look at, if you're watching the YouTube right now, see these shoes I got? As I was walking home after that set, it was like an hour walk. I was crashing at my buddy's place in Brooklyn. And as I'm walking, I walk through this area with all these brothers that are having a barbecue. And one guy goes, I overhear him on the phone. He goes, I think I got more sneakers than I got drawers. That's crazy. And then I'm like, damn. And then I kept walking. And then that night, right before I slept, it hit me. I'm like, man, that is crazy. Jesus Christ. He's got more shoes than he has boxers. Is that too many shoes or not enough boxers? I don't know. I just started like, I used to have a big shoe collection. Then I was like, I hated the fact that you only really wear two of them. And the other ones are pretty much new because they seemed like a good idea at the time, but they're uncomfortable. You realize they're too flashy. They're too whatever. For whatever reason, you know. So then it's like you only really like a couple of pairs of shoes. So you only really wear those. Just that disproportionate use of shoes always annoyed me. So I stopped being like a big shoe guy. And the fact that I got into comedy and went super broke for a long period helped. That helped with that big time. But yeah, I think I'm going to move to New York and later this year. I got to get used to the subways. They always trip me out. Like when I stand right here where the yellow line is on the platform, I always expect, I don't know what's going on with my head, but I always expect a motherfucker to come and push. Always. I always expect it. I don't know why. I don't know why my head goes there. I haven't had someone do that. I haven't heard of someone that happening to someone around me. You read about that shit all the time, just like random crazy people push someone on the track, but I always like see this green pillar right here. I always have like my back to a pillar or something, you know. New York has got some vibe to it. It's like there's just a little bit on the edge. It's as if people know that a plane could fly into a building at any second. I don't know what, I don't know how to describe it, but I think it's just necessary to be in the next step. I ran into some comedians there. They're like, there's 500 comics out here. Can you imagine that? 500 comics in here grinding their way up, grinding their way up. And you're leaving a smaller scene hoping to, the truth is that it's the biggest coliseum of comedy, right? Like if you are a, if you do mixed martial arts or a martial art and you're somewhere in the world, your eyes are on UFC. Likewise on like boxing over there in like, in Europe and in Canada, like you're trying to get to the biggest places that do it. New York City is that. I think America is like, as far as a market, that's the market for stand-up to really thrive. That's where arena acts are created. But New York City is where, like, as far as training and honing is, that's it. That's the biggest coliseum. And what's sick about it is that after that point, I'll be done. You know what I mean? Like, I started comedy in Detroit. This is where I started comedy. New Way Bar Ferndale. This is where I had my first goddamn open mic right here. And I died. I bombed so hard. And I had to wait 3 hours for my set. It was this stage right here. 3 hours for my set. There was like two people by the time I got up. Oh yeah, right here. I waited like right in this spot. Just waiting for people, less and less trickling out. There was like two people watching by the time I went up. I died. But I started in Detroit, and then when we were doing the stand-up, then it was Brainwash Cafe in San Francisco. This was a legendary place. This place was open for years and years, but it ended up getting closed down. You know, it's like a condo now or something like that. But the Brainwash Laundry, man. Wow, what a place. They had a stage every night. You would get up and perform like Monday to Thursday. This place was like full-on school in San Francisco. Like, everyone would be there at 6:30 as if like all the comedians of the city would start their sets that night there. So that was a cool experience I've actually never seen anywhere else. So it was Ferndale, Michigan. It was my first couple sets in Detroit. Then I really got into stand-up. I found out, yo, you got to go every night at the Brainwash in San Francisco. Lose my job, have to move back to Toronto. Then it's a million venues in Toronto as we grind our way up. And now I'm trying to move back to, or not back, but trying to go to New York because, like I said, it's the final level. As far as honing your ability, after that you could live anywhere and just be a touring headliner as needed. But what's nice is after New York, there's no other level as far as I'm concerned. I guess you could say it's LA and New York, or LA or Austin right now are the three options for where you want to go if you want to become a stand-up that made it. The problem with, let's put up a map. So you got New York, right? What's beautiful about New York? Very close to Toronto, London, Ontario, where I grew up, close to the family. Keep it close. And it is, like I said, the number one. The Comedy Cellar is the number one comedy club of the world as far as like representing stand-up comedy. It's probably the Comedy Cellar. I think most people would argue it's the Comedy Cellar. Then you got LA, which has the Comedy Store, the Improv, Laugh Factory. And as of recent, because of motherfucking Joe Rogan, you have Austin, Texas, which has a billion clubs at this point. So these three options, I lean towards New York because it's the classic story of making it. You need to go through New York. All greats have gone through New York, so I'm planning on going through New York. And the fact that it's super close to home and like healthcare is huge. But then after that, I think it may have to be LA because I'm also an actor, so I think I'll probably end up in LA before Austin. But who knows? Who knows? The point is that we got a bank account and we got a motherfucking visa activated. Now let's get some shows on the schedule. Chicago, San Francisco, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Austin possibly, Seattle. You guys, sit tight. I got a nice little announcement coming out for y'all any day now. And that's it, yo. That's been the episode for now. I'm excited. By the time I do an episode next week, I wonder, will it be Drake or will it be Kendrick? Everything in my shit is facts. that's exactly how I feel about this podcast. Everything in my shit is facts, yo. Ooh, ooh. Yo, this is the best time of hip-hop. This is our Biggie Tupac right now happening. A lot lamer, I would say, but, you know, as far as, like, there's no one's gonna get killed, or no one's gonna get shot at, but still, very fun for music-wise, and honestly, I hope it culminates pretty soon, because I want to go back to regular scheduled programming of life content. I can't even do, like, I have a bunch of ideas that have nothing to do with this feud. I can't even put them out. They're just gonna get, like, they're gonna come and go, you know? They have nothing to do with this. This is, like, so visceral and right now that we got to stay in it until it wraps up. But yeah, you know what? Thank you for tuning in to another episode. For those of you who are watching the video, I used to have that nice little outro, which flagged me last time because I don't technically own it. But for those listening to the audio, it don't matter. It's the Wild West on the audio front. So maybe I'll end off with a little bit of this. Ooh. No, they're going to flag me for that either way. Anyways. Till next time, your boy Boss Wahab. Peace. Watch this.